Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We thank you, Father, for all you have done for us. We thank you first that you have saved us. You have taken us out of darkness and brought us into your marvelous light. And we give you glory for that. And today we have assembled ourselves to hear your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Your word guides our path that we should not sin against you. And so, Father, let the Holy Spirit now begin to minister through the vessel that is before him today. No matter how worthy or unworthy it might be, use it to the glory and honor of Yeshua, that the world may know that God is a God of truth, and he will do what he said he will do. And so, Father, now we place this service into the hands of the Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of the people. We thank you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. I don't have a lot of time today. In fact, there's some other things going on today. So what I'm going to do is sort of see if I can't clean up some stuff that we left from last week and then prepare ourselves for the coming week. If we would, let's put the Mishkan on the screen. And I'm going to just sort of give you a little review because it's worthy of noting the truths that Yahweh has shown us through this Mishkan, through this tabernacle, through this dwelling place of Yahweh, which Mishkan means. One thing they show us that I reiterate every week is that there's only one way to God. There's only one way. There's not your way, they way, us's way, but it's one way. And it's God's way. Yeshua said, I am the door to the sheepfold. If any man enters any other way, he's a robber and a thief. Now, it is not surprising that there is such great error in the church world today. It is not surprising because in approximately, well, it began in 325 AD that they began to change the Bible. And till about 1585, when the printing press came in, then they was able to do a job on it. Because if you got the only printing press and you print out material that says something that is not true, but all people believe it because it was in the printing press. So Here in this dwelling place, Yahweh lays down his plan for salvation. And it is so important because you should not make a mistake. Yahweh said to Moshe, he said, see here, make sure you build this according to the pattern that I gave you. Other words, don't you make no changes on your own. Make it like I told you to make it. Because this is going to demonstrate my plan for salvation. The children of Israel, we call them the children of Israel, but really they were the family of Yaakov, which in the English you all call Jacob, but his name was Yaakov. Yaakov, his family, which consisted of 70 people, went down to Mizraim, which you call Egypt. And down there, they lived down there, but nearly 400 years, was put in a slave sort of a position, and Yahweh delivered them between 1500 and 1600 BC, that they came out. Now they spent, Yahweh gave them 2 months and took them to the border of the promised land and say, you can cross over if you want to. So they sent out the spies. The spies came back and say, it's too hard. See, when you're dealing with God, nothing is too hard. They said, these people are giants in the land. And we feel like grasshoppers in their sight. And God said, because you won't go over, I want you to turn back. He said, no, we're ready to go now. And he said, no. See, a lot of times we want to only do God's will when we find out that we can't do his will because he has changed his mind. And you say, can God change his mind? Not really. But he knew what they were going to do right from the beginning. So they went back, and Yahweh then took Moshe and gave Moshe the pattern of this. So salvation has been laid down over 1,500 years before it came. And really, and when we think about 2019, over 3,000 years, the plan for salvation was in this Mishkan. And then when the young Yehudim boys, and I say Yehudim, because since we are looking for truth, you have to go back to the Hebrew. And when you go back to the Hebrew, you know that nobody can be a Jew. Now, that's not anti-Semitic. No one can be a Jew. The reason is that there is no J in the Hebrew alphabet. So you can't call anyone a Jew. Well, you can call them anything you want to call them. You know, but there cannot be a word Jew in that. Therefore, there cannot be a word Jesus. It's not possible. There is no J. So these people were called Ivrim. And because they crossed over the Red Sea, and that's what Ivrim mean, those who cross over. And later, they were called Yisrael because Yahweh renamed Yaakov Yisrael, one who has power with God, because he wrestled with the angel there in the desert. And God said, I'm going to change your name to Yisrael, one who has power with God, so that they were called sometime Yisrael. Then they were called Yehudi, taken from the tribe of Yehuda. Why am I saying all that? Maybe you need to know. But these people, they really thought that this was all about their religion, all about them. But if you have been with me in the last few months, you have found out it was all about Yeshua. All of this was about Yeshua. When you entered in the gate, you came to the brazen altar of sacrifice. And there you must accept the sacrifice or place the sacrifice here, or you couldn't go any farther. And once you had to have stopped here at the sacrifice and got the blood, now I say you, let me retract a bit. The only people who could do this were the priests, the priest of God. The people had no participation in this religion. They participated through the intermediary of the Aaronic priesthood. And so the priest would stop here. The priest would kill the sacrifice and take the blood. Then you must go to the brazen laver. The brazen laver had a cup at the top full of water, cup at the bottom full of water. And there Yahweh said to Moshe, the priests must wash here. If they do not wash, they will die. And this was a type of baptism. Baptism from above, the top cup. Baptism from below. Read 1 Corinthians. They were all baptized under Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. Oh my God. Somebody say praise God. Sometimes it's just good to know stuff. Hallelujah. You know, Shaul knew so much that he said, man, the emperor said, man, you got so much learning, you mad. So, only when you have washed, you have the blood, you have washed, only then can you enter the Mishkan. You can't enter the Mishkan without blood. You can't enter the Mishkan without washing. Come on. Now that should tell you something about why the apostles baptized people. When the people said to Cephas, which you call Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, first you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua, Mashiach, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was the message. Be baptized from below and you will receive the baptism from above. Now and only now are you able to enter the Mishkan. The Mishkan is symbolic of the church. Let's go to the inner part of that. This is the holy place. We have been dwelling in this holy place for the last 3 months. And we have talked about the table of shewbread, which represents the word of God. We have talked about the golden lampstand. Now, you know, they will say to you the golden candlestick. No such thing. There was no candles in that day. It had oil in these little bulbs up here and a wick, and this lampstand burned. Then we had the golden altar of incense, where incense was, coals were placed into the on the altar, and then incense was sprinkled upon, and then the smoke went up, which was a type of prayer. So when the priests went here, they all did the service of God, which means that every one of you should be ministering in the word of God, you should be ministering in the Holy Ghost, and you should be praying.
Amen.
So many believers don't pray. And they don't understand why they got no power. But one of the main reasons, they don't have the truth. So, here we have dwelt here for quite a while. And last week, I took you to Colossians, the third chapter. And I threw a bomb on you. And I know some of you are a little confused, so I'm going to pick you up here and help you to understand this. So let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. And I'm not hurrying because I don't have much time. When you don't have much time, you should slow down. You don't understand the wisdom of that. But do everybody have it? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Mashiach dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, notice the word let. The word let is aphema in the Greek, which means to permit or allow. God will not force himself upon you. Everything he has is for you, but you must permit it to happen. You must allow it to happen. It's all involved in you. That's why you got people in the church, some weak, some half strong, because they have not permitted God to work in them like God wants to work in them. So he said, let the word of Mashiach dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So he says, if I could put it in the Greek, I would say in orkia. Other words, allow the word to dwell within richly, like a rich man. Let the word live in your life like he's a rich man. He has access to all parts of your life. Nothing is withheld from him. And he can do his work in your life because he's dwelling in your life richly and without being hindered by you. By you. And he said, in all wisdom. Notice, not just in wisdom, but in what? All wisdom. So there has to be more wisdom than one wisdom. Different kinds of wisdom. So the word Sophia is wisdom. And the word Sophia means an insight. You have an insight into the true nature of things. How many times do we mistake what we are facing? But wisdom gives us an insight into the true nature of what we're dealing with. And then the next word for wisdom is phoronesis. Phoronesis means the ability to understand what the result of your action will be. Amen. So now you know the true nature of things, and you know how you react to it, you know what will be the end of that. Yes. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have done that. Amen. How many people have said that? If I'd have known, I wouldn't have done that. Well, you should have known, because you should have allowed the word to dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Thank you, brother. You ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. You said, help me, I'm going to help you. Teaching and admonishing one another in hymns, in psalms, Psalms, sacred songs put to music, in hymns, songs of praise to Yahweh. So he's giving us a demonstration of worship, how we should worship. You should sing songs, sacred songs that has been put to music. You heard all that today, right? You should be singing hymns, which is praises to Yahweh. But then he added another, and he said, and spiritual psalms. And that's where I kind of whacked your mind up and got you all confused. How many of you confused? Let me see your hand. Spiritual song. The Greek word is pneumatikos, meaning songs that are revealed through the Spirit and are manifested by the Spirit. And you don't understand what is being said, but it's a spirit song. Someone called me and said, last week, as service was going on, I heard this sound, and it sounded like angels singing. Is that what you heard? I said, no, but I heard the Spirit. See, we have not entered there as we ought to enter there, because this is a part of worship, the most dynamic part of worship that we can participate in, is allowing the Holy Spirit to minister through us in heavenly language in song. How many know what I'm talking about? And sometimes when the Spirit comes in, we think it's always to speak in tongues. So we'll start speaking in tongues. No, no. He's trying to minister in a new dynamics to you or through you in song that sounds like angels singing. You say, I think that's spiritual song. Just simply mean all the song you sang is spirit. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. See, I want to clear this up as best I can. 1 Corinthians 14:14. And if you're not enjoying this, it's all right. If you don't want to know nothing, it's all right. We got a lot of folk don't know nothing. So join the crowd. You're in good company. That's probably the 13th verse. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, you will find that the unknown is not in the text. It simply says speaking in tongues, let him pray that he may interpret. So the idea is, if there's nobody in the church that interprets spiritual language, then you should pray, if you have the gift of tongues, that you can interpret what you said. Okay? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this lovely? Doesn't this add a new dimension to your worship? Maybe. 14th verse. For if I pray in tongues, it says unknown, but really it doesn't say that. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now listen to that. I'm praying in a language that my understanding do not understand. My understanding is unfruitful. But I am praying in a language from heaven that my understanding do not understand, because sometimes we need to get out of the dimension of our understanding and move into a spiritual dimension of heaven. So he says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, or in tongue, my spirit pray. Now notice, my what? Spirit prayer. So your spirit is different from your understanding. That means your mind. So you have a spiritual dimension of your life. But if you will not allow that spiritual dimension to step forward and begin to minister through you, you will always be a halfway carnal Christian. Amen. And every time the Spirit tries to minister, you will start hollering or speaking in tongues. Have you seen it happen? Okay, let's go on. What, 15 verse, what is it then? I will pray in the spirit. I don't think we would say with. I believe if you read in the Hebrew, we say in. I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray in the understanding also. Thank you. Now, listen to this. I will what? I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in my understanding also. So there is a spiritual dimension that goes outside of the understanding and your spirit begin to manifest himself in your life. What happened to Adam and Hava, which the person we call Eve, her name was Hava. She was the life giver. She was the life giver. Adam was a spirit man in a fleshly body. He was not guided by his mind. He was guided by his spirit. He had that connection to God. And so he did not depend on what he thought. He depended on the spiritual dimension of his life. His mind was not operating on a natural plane. Thank God. But when it started, he messed up everything. Yahweh told him, I give you dominion over everything. You rule everything. You control everything. I'm making you the controller. Huh? You control the earth. You control what happened. You control the garden. You control the animal. You are the controller of everything. But when he disobeyed God and began to operate in his mind, it took 960 years for the spirit to receive and the understanding, earthly understanding, to increase. Now God is moving us back through Yeshua to a spiritual plane So we can now make the proper contact to God. Look, in Yohanan 4, Yeshua said, Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, according to the revealed word of Yahweh. We are trying to worship God in mind. So I, go back to Colossians, I was trying to say to the people, when you are ministering as a worship team, you are not the controller of that worship. You are a facilitator to bring us to a point where God can minister. The Holy Ghost can minister. But we have the idea that it is us. Get on your feet, everybody. Praise the Lord. Holler. Raise your hand. Holler. Whoa. And even when the Holy Spirit try to come in, we start talking more. Yeah, yeah, go ahead on. Yeah, boy, God. We have to learn that this is a spiritual worship, and it has nothing to do with us as us doing the spiritual worship, but facilitating the Spirit of God that he can minister in us and through us. I said, I left you all with confusion. Hopefully, you are not more confused than when I started. Now, let's go back to the 17th verse. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of Yeshua, giving glory to God the Father in him. Now, remember that the priest had to take the hot coals from the altar of sacrifice. It had to be the hot coals from the altar of sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu was like some people that said it don't matter how you do it. The only thing that matters is you get the fire burned. So they took the hot coals from their campfire. And they went into the house of God and sprinkled the incense, and God struck them dead. These was Aharon's boy, or Aaron you call it. These was Aharon's boy. And he was pretty upset. And Moshe said, remember what Yahweh said. If you're going to approach me, you approach me like I'm holy. Amen. You don't just do what you want to do when you're coming to me. You approach me like I'm holy. And you respect me. And you give glory and honor to me by obeying what I told you to do. The Bible said, Aharon held his peace. Nothing he could say. Now, we'll see that the word of Yahweh said, these all was figures. They were patterns of things to come. The sprinkling of the hot coals meant the smoke meant prayer, but it also meant praise. It also meant singing songs to Yahweh. So Shaul in Colossians will say, whatever you do in word and deed, do the name of Yeshua. Don't be a Dob and a Bahu. Don't think you can do it in any name. The only name that opens up heaven is the name of Yeshua. That's the only name that opens up heaven. Should I stop? Y'all want me to stop? Am I putting too much on you than you can bear? Then, now look. If we then have the understanding, Yeshua said to his disciples, you have asked me nothing up to this point. But anything you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. His name is what he left of the residue of his sacrifice. You getting it? He left his name as the residue of his sacrifice, like the animal left the hot coals as a residue of their sacrifice. Now, go back to the Mikdash. The Mikdash is the, let's get inside. This is the Mikdash, the holy place, a type of the church. But behind the veil is another compartment, which is a type of heaven. You must get in the Mikdash first before you get into the most holy place or the holiest of holies. So now we have finished ministering in the Mikdash. Now we are ready to enter the holiest of holies. And I'm just going to open it up. I'm not going to try to do anything here. Ephraim 9. Ephraim is what? You scholars. Hebrew. And let's just start at the first verses. I'm going to just open it up and not go far. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, which we saw. For there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was the, it says here, candlestick, but just scratch that off and say lampstand. And the table, this is really talking about the golden altar of incense. And the shewbread, which is the table of shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, which was within the veil, it was different. And also, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called Holiest of All. We could call it the holiest of holies, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant. Let's go back there. Let's see if we, well, no, let's forget, just stay where you are. The Ark of the Covenant, and we'll see this later, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot of Manha, we say Manha, but it's Manha, which man in the Hebrew, the way it's written here, means what? Hey, Sharuk Aleph, Who means this. So what they said when they saw it, they said, what's this? Moshe later explained to them, this is the lehim, the bread of God that came, that God is sending down from heaven. But we still calling it, what's this? Now, the pot of manna and Aharon's rod that budded. There was a controversy of who was right. So they all, Moses said, take all your rods. We're going to put them up in the sanctuary. And the rod that bud, that's the one that God's blessing. And so they put them up. And when they looked at the rod, Aharon's rod, now it was just a stick cut out of the tree years ago. But when you look at Aharon's rod, it had actually flowered. So they say, put that in the covenant. So it was the manna that came down from heaven, or the, what's this? And Aharon's rod that budded, and the table, tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That was in that box. Now, we have to understand that all of that meant something. This wasn't something that God just threw together. Now, I want you to look, if you would, and we will, I think I'll just end it here. Johannes 6:48. If you're interested, you can come next week. And if not, watch TV. Because you have to allow this to be in your life. You have to let it be. Now the 48th. Remember the manna, which Moses said unto them, this is the lehim. This is the bread that Yahweh set down from heaven. Verse 48. I am that. Notice, I am what? That bread of life. In other words, that manna spoke of me. That manna was talking about me. Watch it. Your fathers did eat manna. What is it? In the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread. Now notice he now translated manna, the bread. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. In other words, I'm going to die. Amen. Which I will give for the life of the world. So the manna, the lehim, the bread that was in, that was placed, that was called manna, spoke of Yeshua, the living bread that would come down from heaven. Aharon's rod that budded spoke of the life he would give to the dead people of the earth who were dead in trespasses and sin. He would bring them back to life again. Spiritually. and the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, speaks of the holiness and the righteousness which he would give to those who he bought to life again. This is the Ark of the Covenant. This is the agreement that God has with man. If you eat of this bread, Yeshua said, you will never die. But those that ate of the bread in the wilderness, they are dead. There's so much when you get into the Hebrew and you really get into study that you can learn that has nothing to do with how we have been serving God. We are still trying to serve God through the hanky-panky, okey-dokey, human-type mind worship that has turned people off, because once you get into the mind worship, everything is flesh. In this time, Yahweh is calling us back to the spiritual worship that is what God wants. But you have to afima. You have to let it. You have to let it happen. You have to stop resisting because of what you knew in the past, what you didn't know. You thought you knew, but you didn't know. You have to accept the fact that his name was not Jesus. You have to just accept it. There's no way it could be. And there's nowhere where it tells you that it. Anywhere you read, it'll tell you his name is Yeshua. Now, they might add, it don't make no difference what name you use. But look. Even with me, it matters what name you use. Don't you run up on me calling me Sam. My name is not Sam. My name is not even William. My name is not Bill. My name is Will. And if you want to talk to me, you call me by my name. You don't go making up a name. Hey, Honeycup, I'm not your Honeycup. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Father, we thank you that in this day and time, you are completing the circle back to the truth, back to the original truth that Yahweh gave through Yeshua, who shared it with the apostles, who turned the world upside down. Now, Father, we are ready to turn the church world upside down, to bring forth the truth that has been hidden for so many years. Father, help us. Help those who hear the truth to recognize the truth, that we all might unite ourselves together in the one truth, for there can be but one truth. And that we will bring many sons and daughters unto Yahweh through in Mashiach, Yeshua. We thank you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be somebody here today that said, Apostle, I heard the word, and I want that.